Today's episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Maybe we should check in with Leosin?
I guess. I mean, honestly, we need some direction about what we need to do.
Well, we need to go to the Wizards of the Fae.
Yeah, and we need to figure out how we're going to do that.
You make your way back up and into Leosin's chambers. What do you know about Fae?
Oh, nothing?
They're not good guys.
Yeah, I can't say anything really rings a bell.
It's a little unsettling when you go there. The ones that are helping the Cult of the Dragon, they are run by Rathmodar, who was exiled by the Red Wizards of Fae. Anytime you address someone, it is best to address them with both their title and their name.
This is going to go great, guys.
It is, totally. Because I remember names really well,
yep.
And I pronounce them impeccably.
Yes, you make it to the teleportation chamber, Leosin and Lady Laryl Silverhand, and Nai Ilmich. And she begins a ritual. You quickly arrive into a luxurious chamber, and she leads you to three rooms.
Do you have any experience with, souls being trapped in bodies? My name's Bort. I've been trapped in this dwarf's body for a while now, and I want out.
Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. We're a D&D 5th edition actual play podcast, and I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. And with me today is Amy Moore.
Why I gotta be first? I play Thea Amastasia.
And Carla Johnson.
The, what is it? Golden bronze goddess? But not. I play New Lara Moonbrook.
And Tom Laird.
Why I gotta be last? And I play Flint Firebeard.
Thank you.
I didn't stay on theme. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah. It's okay.
Well, it's okay. We bookended you.
Yeah.
Bronze goddess. Where right. Is your tan, Carla?
Well,
right?
Did you leave it in Mexico? Did they make you leave it at the border? They were like, you can't take that with you to Canada. You'll make everyone feel bad.
Anything to declare? No, I'll just leave my tan here.
I wasn't even allowed to get one. I do have a tan for me. I'm a very pale person, FYI.
Yeah,
people who only
like.
Know what I sound like. So for me, I do have a tan. Not really visible on Skype because I'm very good about facial sunscreen. Oh, also, I was in Mexico. Did I say that? I feel like none of
no,
that
we
made
just
any
jumped
sense.
Right into
I'm
it.
Just talking about my tan. I was in Mexico for 10 days.
Carla was in Mexico and
abandoned us.
Now we're back playing games and very happy about it.
Very happy about it. I missed
my
friends.
You guys.
It was only
too.
2 weeks, but it felt like so long.
It
I only got to play
like
one other
time.
Game during that time.
Jeez,
oh, I'm sorry, me. Russ.
Right?
So much happened in that time. It was forever.
I'm sorry that I forgot how to play.
Yeah, me too.
I'm apologizing.
The preemptive apology. I love it.
It's
also, if we're just apologizing, I'm also getting sick. So I don't sound the best. I'm sorry for that.
It's that season.
I don't think I have much to apologize for. I did play D&D the other night with my brother, his wife, and their daughter. So maybe.
So you're fresh.
Yeah, there we go. I'm like ready to go.
You're
I
ready.
Don't apologize.
There you go.
That's good.
Whoa. How un-Canadian.
I was going to say a strong anti-Canadian stance from Tom.
And a place where you can get even more apologies. No.
Try again.
That's true.
And a place where
Segway Master. I'm waiting for it. I gave
That's
you a theme.
This is making the segue.
It's not happening. Patreon.com/dumbdragoncast.
It's
the
sick.
Ultimate
no,
segue.
The ultimate segue. Just jump right into it.
Just yep. Yell it out.
You can join us over there. And we have a wonderful community of fabulous people.
True. The best people.
The best people. And when you are a patron of ours, you get an episode dedicated to you. Like today's episode is dedicated to the lovely Eli McElveen and Sean Howard.
Yay,
thanks, Eli and Sean.
You guys are awesome.
Now, it might seem like we're doubling up, but they put their names all in the same thing.
Oh, yeah. Fair enough,
yeah.
Then.
Yeah.
Eli McElveen and Sean Howard, you know, they run those podcasts, Alba Salix and The End of Time and Other Bothers.
The End of Time and Other Bothers is a great name for a podcast.
It is. And they are very funny.
Super funny.
It is a funny one. Their characters are great.
And you know what? We're going to get to meet them when we go to PodCon in Seattle, because they're going to.
Which is like less than 2 months, you guys.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's coming up real soon.
The only other check was to check Tom's audio. But we've already done that, so
yeah,
we're
I checked
good.
It before. Yay. I even checked it while we were on Skype originally to see to make sure that Skype wasn't fucking with it, and it seems fine.
And you know what? Audio things happen. We still put out some great episodes.
Apologies about the audio,
and
but
now we're back to crystal clear Tom, which
will be good
so going
crispy.
Forward. Which we're good so talking about
crispy.
This so much, and then you know when we get it, it.
Oh, it better not be bad when I stop this file.
Fuck it, let's play D&D.
Okay. Woo! Woohoo!
Everybody remember where we were. You guys can talk about it. Yeah.
Thay, we're in Thay.
We're in Thay. We're in our theme room.
Badass theme room, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So I've got Arabian Nights
remember
happening.
What your theme room feels like.
It's Arabian Nights. I'm lounging on silk pillows. There's just like oranges and pinks everywhere. It's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I've got like an elven theme going on, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Mine's very like northern and frost giant-y and like
hearths
Nordic.
And fur rugs and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tom or Flint's was the very hardest for me to remember because I haven't edited that far. And I was like, what the fuck was his? And I had to ask Amy because it was like, he went with like an elven tree thing. I was like, oh, fuck.
He got desperate. He was like, did you hear that? He was like, oh, my God, I racked my brain and I couldn't find my notes and I didn't edit. And then eventually I had to ask the other person who actually did the podcast. And it turns out she remembered. Oh, my God.
Wasn't a slight against you. It's
no,
just,
but I mean, come on. There were it's real good chance that I wasn't going to remember.
Yeah,
because it didn't have to do with
like,
me, and I'm super.
It's a real solid chance, guys.
So you have entered your respective rooms. Doors closed behind you. Nai Ilmich said that she would call upon you when Tharchian Iseldra Yeth is ready for you. Flint. And you are Flint right now.
Yes.
Yeah. I remembered that too. In your room, there is in each of your rooms, but we'll start with Flint, there is a table by a fireplace with food and a pitcher of ale as well as a jug of water. A note is left beside with a bell, and the note says, ring for service. So your whole room is an elven oasis, a treetop village, very misty, very, very earthy. Not what a dwarf would normally wish for, but you have.
That's
and
right.
This is what you have. So you've got some time, you've got some food, you've got some things. What do you want to do while you're in?
I don't know, probably just relax. I mean, the last few days haven't been, like, harrowing, but they've been very busy. Be nice to just take a break.
Sounds good.
You'll have a Kit Kat bar, etc.
Ah.
There is a very, very comfortable hammock set up in the main living space of this area that you are in.
Flint does love him a hammock.
Cue to a really funny little montage of him trying to get in the hammock.
Yeah, how high is it hung
like
up? It'd be hard.
Spinning mm-hmm. and like arms mm-hmm. and legs and like a big knot in the middle. Like
it's
yeah.
just high enough to be awkward.
Perfect.
Like this, everything else in this room is perfect except for the height of the hammock.
But that's what I really, really want.
Yeah.
So
he climbs the tree and does a haunt.
Should I roll some sort of dex roll to get in this hammock?
Oh, no. We're just leaving that in the minds of the people just to see how
perfect.
Well you do. Some of them,
in my
know,
mind, you're still struggling to get in.
Oh, yep. Yeah. It is. The struggle is real.
You have a real good nap when you're done, though, because you will have earned it.
Yeah.
It's tuckered right out.
Sounds good. All right. We'll leave you to struggle with your hammock. Nulara, you are in this ice cave. this frost giant's, very reminiscent of a frost giant's lair. There are large bear, polar bear pelts. There's furs and very heavy, thick fabrics laid upon the large bed. As well, in your room, there is a very comfortable, large chair beside a fireplace, and the same table of food, pitcher of ale, and clean jug of water, with the same note, ring for service, with a little bell beside it. What are you doing in this room?
I think probably first I'm going to, like, walk around and touch everything, like Carla does in real life when she goes places.
Carla's not invited over anymore.
But just, like, something that's so texture-rich. Like, yep. If there are furs and, like, rich velvets and things, I'm going to want to, like, walk around and pet everything, see what feels nice. I'm probably going to drink some water and eat some of that food. And then probably also just, like, relax. Because, yeah, it hasn't been an exciting few days, but I suspect there are some exciting times ahead, so always best to relax while you can. Like in real life, when you should always like eat or go pee whenever you can, just in case. Mm-hmm. So always a good idea.
Naturally. That's good. You do that. You sidle up in the chair, wherever you are comfortable, and you start relaxing for a good long while, and then you hear the dagger in your head. Stuck at the mercy of the Red Wizards, are you? Not a great place to be in. Thea, you're in a room very reminiscent of the region of Chult. So very rich in satins and linens and all sorts of very comfortable and desert
pillows.
And
a lot of flowy robes.
Things. Lots of flowy robes and
tapestries
pillows.
And just
jewel tones.
All those things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Golds.
Very rich, plush bed. Big, massive fireplace. Again, a spread of food and ale and water. Same note. Ring for service and the tiny bell. What are you doing in this room?
Oh, Thea looks around and it's just like, like, just, she's like, oh, this is just exactly what I wanted. And she immediately strips off all of her clothes and crawls into the bed and just rolls around naked on the fabrics. Because if you have all those rich fabrics,
you gotta,
like,
get them.
You gotta get it all over your body. And Thea's kind of a nudist a little bit. She just likes, anytime a door closes, I believe she takes off her pants. That's how I imagine her to be. Similar to myself, right? You get home after a day's work, you're like, I'm not wearing real clothes anymore. Only she just, like, full-on goes buck-ass naked.
It only took 64 episodes to figure that out.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
We knew she
slept
naked.
Character development, Russ.
Well, we don't spend a lot of times in, like, fancy hotel rooms, Russ.
Mm-hmm. Unknowing how long you have in this room, you have stripped completely naked.
It's true. Someone could be in 5 minutes, but she is like, this might be the only time I get to have in this bed.
Exactly.
I'm very much the way New Lara is thinking right now. And Flint, if you have some time to relax, like, just take it. So I'm taking it. I'm taking
pants
it.
Pants off, dance off.
There's no pants party here.
Back to Flint. A knock comes to the door as you are relaxing, chillax, and all cool.
Am I shooting some b-ball outside of the school?
You might be.
A couple of guys who were up to no good started making trouble in my neighborhood.
That's who's knocking on the door.
One little fight.
How long does it take me to get out of the hammock?
Roll for hammock.
Okay, I'm going to roll a straight up d20 hammock roll, and it's a 10. I split the difference.
Oh, dear. 30 minutes later.
No, I mean...
Wait, because what a success would have been 15 minutes?
I guess.
It's a tough roll. No, it takes you, we'll say, like 30 seconds of struggling, good hard struggling to get out of this hammock. But
can we hear the grunting that we would be heard from behind the door? Like, what kind of noise is Flynn making to get out of here?
I don't know what's going on in there.
They're like...
We'll come back. It's okay.
Long enough that there's a hesitant second knock, so we'll say that.
Okay. Coming. And I go and answer the door.
You open the door to a pale-faced human who stands before you. And you see greens and blues blotched all over the man's visible skin. With cloudy eyes, he looks down at you because he is much taller than you as you open the door. And he says, Master Firebeard, or other soul, you have placed a request for a certain ritual?
Oh, yeah, that would be the other guy asked for that, but... Yeah, kind of, we're curious of how to get this other dude out of my head.
Yes, yes. The great Zaztam has been approached about your request, and Zaztam can help you. Zaztam has the power to grant all requests.
So I'm imagining, like, kind of like the movie Kazam. Or Shazam.
Zaztam.
What if that would be
could,
like.
If he could say Zaztam after he casts every single spell, that would be great.
It would be. Sorry.
Zaztam. Yeah, let's, can I go see him now? Is he coming here? What do you have in mind?
He would not see you particularly.
Oh, okay.
But he could grant you what you request. The ritual involves removing the unwanted soul. In this case, he looks down at you. I believe the dragonborn's soul. And yeah. Placing it into a new host.
Yeah, that would be great, because, I mean, I want him to have somewhere to go. I just don't want him to stop existing.
Mm-hmm. Well, hosts are plentiful here in Thay.
Yeah, aren't you guys are like a bunch of liches, right?
No.
Is that an offensive term?
Should I know, I was like, that? Is that racist in world?
Is that what I mean? Like, are you undead? It's like, actually, we prefer to be called, like, previously living.
I must have been misinformed. I'm sorry about that.
There is but one lich, the great Zaztam.
I was going to say, is it Zaztam?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yes, souls, however, are harder to come by.
And I didn't mean it as like a pejorative. You know the old saying, liches kill bitches.
That old positive saying.
Yep.
He has a very confused look on his face. He says, I don't believe I have heard that one before.
Oh, it's all the rage back in and around Waterdeep.
He has a bit of a disgusted look on his face. He says, yes, okay. While Zaztam can grant you your request, he requires only one thing.
Okay.
We must be upfront about these things. You and the unwanted soul will become a follower of the great Zaztam.
Wait, both of us?
You will aid him and his military in bringing down his enemies in Rathmodar, as well as aiding in greater battles against enemies in Rashomon and beyond.
Well, I mean, we're kind of doing our part to not let Tiamat rise. Does that count towards my tally on the good side of things?
Zaztam deals in bargains, one for one.
So, yes?
The offer is...
I mean, I'm not opposed to the idea of helping him out, just like we are busy with this other world-saving mission at the moment.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sure Bort would hop on board right away, but I might need some time. That's all I'm saying. Just give me the time. I just need the time.
The offer is only good as long as you are in Thay.
Okay. I will, I'll think it over.
Just ring the bell for service. And he turns and leaves.
Oh, it's not just food and drinks the bell will bring. It's also soul removal, bargains with liches. It's amazing.
I was wondering about this service.
You close the door and get back to your hammock.
20 to 30 minutes later.
He'll get in, and then someone will knock on the door.
Someone else will knock on the door. Oh, my God.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Greetings, I'm Bernard.
And I'm Magenta. You might know us from such hit podcasts as Madame Magenta, Sonus Mystica.
Horror Anthology Magenta Presents.
Or Season 3 of Mockery Manor.
We're everywhere.
And we're spreading faster than an STD in an old folks' home, because now we have a brand new podcast. Wham!
Wham! It's a fun acronym that stands for We Have a Movie.
Oh, it's not just an acronym, Bernard.
It's not?
It's a chat podcast where we invent smash hit Hollywood movies based on popular toys.
If you like the Barbie movie and you want to see similar treatments of your favorite childhood toys, I'll wager you'll like Wham! With episodes on Polly Pocket, Rubik's Cube, Game Boy, Strawberry Shortcake,
Furby, Connect Four, and lots of other nostalgia bait. But it's not just for adults who still like toys. It's a podcast for anyone who loves Hollywood tropes and comedy.
And quantum mechanics.
And BDSM.
Wham! Has something for everyone, but is still specifically about movies.
That's Wham! W-H-A-M. You know, like when Batman punches someone.
Yes.
Adam West. That Batman.
Exactly.
Not the Christopher Nolan one.
No.
Download it anywhere you listen to podcasts. That's what the world needs, another movie podcast.
Was that clear? Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned quantum mechanics.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Back to New Lara. The dagger has just said, he's laughing at you. Stuck at the mercy of the Red Wizards, are you? Not a great place to be. Yes.
Honey.
Sweetie.
Sugar pie. Listen, doll.
You want to be a star?
You want to be a star, don't you?
As if I can hate the fucking dagger more. Yeah, it's like a fucking creepy Hollywood agent.
Sleazy agent.
She's Estelle from Friends. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
Oh, yeah. See, that's more... That's cuter.
Anyways.
Anyway. What do you know about here? Have you been here before?
Oh, yes. Me and the Master, we've been all around, and we know exactly what the Red Wizards are capable of, and let me just tell you, he could grant you so much power. You would be able to deal with these cultists really single-handedly.
Is that right? What, and who's the Master again? What's his name? Did you give me that before? I feel like we haven't communicated one-on-one like this before.
It's been a while. At least a day. But no, the Master, I don't believe I did give you his name. Yeah. Not sure if I'm supposed to give you his name yet. Hold on.
Stupid dagger. Stupid.
Let me just send a quick email.
No, I don't think I'm supposed to give you his name yet.
When we're communicating, Russ, are we, like, in my mind communicating, or am I actually speaking out loud?
You tell
before
me.
Before, he's, like, in my head, right?
He's definitely in your head, but how are you communicating to him? Are you talking out loud like Donnie would hear, or are you just verbalizing, like, in your mind?
Well, also, wouldn't Donnie hear that?
Yes.
He would hear that too. So Donnie hears all. Yep.
Donnie knows what's up.
You and your telepathic connections with everything on your body.
Very. Yeah.
I have an open brain policy. Just anyone, just wander on in.
So have a seat, make yourself at home.
Tell me their nonsense or not about their master or not. I feel like it would have to maybe be telepathically because we were communicating before and he's like,
I don't know. We've had scenes where, we've had scenes where you've been having a conversation with it and people have reacted.
Heard me?
I think
so. Like, can people hear me? I honestly, I just can't remember, Russ. We've already established.
I think if you're alone in your room, though, like maybe you're wandering around touching things being like.
The last time you heard from the dagger was when you hugged Thaddeus goodbye, and he was like, "Ah, oh, just stab him a little bit."
Yeah,
but you didn't say anything in response
to
that.
Right?
Just stab him a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, I guess, you probably wouldn't. No, maybe you wouldn't have. I'm trying to think of.
Well, because I don't think so. Because I don't.
No. Yeah.
Like others don't know so much what's going on with me and him.
Yeah, there's only been a couple back and forths, and everything else is either him just talking to you and you just disregarding. So, yeah. Yeah, telepathic.
I don't think we know that the dagger is talking to her, because it told her that if she tells anyone that she's talking to the dagger, that it'll make her kill them.
Yeah, and I, like, can't ask them for help and stuff. So, okay. Yeah. So, in my mind, although Amy is right, in this specific instance, like, I could be talking out loud because I'm by myself in my room. But what if? So, that was a no on the master's name.
Yeah.
It's a roundabout way to learn that that was a no.
Well, it's good to establish, though. Yep.
Yeah, what does your master want me to do other than, you know, stab my friends?
Well, now that you and I are here, he has a stake in this battle, just like any other person. Tiamat's return is not ideal for anyone, obviously, as you know. And after we see keeping her to, you know, her hell home, the world would be ripe for a new ruler, so to speak. And with you and me at the master's side, could all go very well for us.
I'm going to say you're not really, like, very forward-thinking, because if what you want is to stop Tiamat, you should not have me be stabbing my friends who are actively trying to stop Tiamat. Just saying. Seems like we're on the same side right now.
That was a hindsight moment, you know, hindsight's 20/20, okay? See, what I had come from was the Cult of the Dragon. They wanted everybody dead. And I was trying to work it from the inside, right?
Sure.
Whereas now you, it was a quick turn. I was like, oh, these two people want to fight over me. Who's stronger? You won that one. And then I said, just like, look, I'm not going to kill anybody.
I am loving this dagger.
So maybe for a while, I'm not saying yes or no to joining your master, but maybe just for the time being, we could put an ixnay on the stabbing of the friends.
Okay, yes, 100%. No stabbing of the friends. However, there's this thing where I get a little thirsty. So,
for blood, I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Blood. Can we just, you don't need to dance around it. Let's just.
We need to get a little.
Let's call a bloodthirsty dagger a bloodthirsty dagger. Okay.
From time to time, that might need to happen. Don't know where, don't know when, but I'll let you know. It won't be your friend.
Okay.
Unless, of course, we can't get the thing that we need to make that go away at the time, then I can't be held accountable for what happens.
Hey, if I know the parameters I'm working with are you need to kill something, I can kill things. I have no problem with killing things. I just don't want to stab my friends.
I get it. I didn't want to stab my friends either. Thea, what are you doing?
Does the dagger have friends that are daggers?
Am I the dagger's friend? I don't understand how the dagger's mentality.
You know, maybe
works.
The dagger went to dagger school, had to murder its dagger friends.
I know, this is a thing.
There's probably a whole dagger backstory.
Only the sharpest and strongest survive.
Exactly.
Two dagger enter, one dagger leave, etc., etc.
Thea, what are you doing?
I'm rolling around on my bed naked. I've brought the tray of food onto the bed because walking to get food is for stupid people. And I am just
that's
like...
That's what the saying is.
I'm just like on my bed like this. The tray's in front of me. I got my like feet kicking up behind me. I'm on my tummy. I'm like popping grapes and whatever in my mouth. I'm just having the best time.
A knock comes at the door.
Hello?
Yes,
speak up, I can't quite hear you.
Okay, usually people open doors.
You can open it, you got arms, do you have arms? If you don't, I'm real sorry.
I have one arm.
Okay, well you can use it.
The door slowly opens, and you see what looks clearly like an undead human enter the room, and he slowly leans in.
And just nude. Just doesn't care.
Just
well, I don't think
it.
I'd get dressed for it, but I'd be like, what do you want?
This is part of your disrespect.
Sure.
Yeah, that's right.
Look at my butt.
Look at my butt. You don't even deserve a cloth. What?
Ilmich sent me. Tharchin, Iseldra, Yeth, we'll see you and your friends now.
Okay. You can leave now.
Yes. They slowly.
Nice bot.
Creeps back.
creeps back out. Weirdo.
Shut the
door behind
punishment.
You. Tia gets dressed.
This is the thrill of my undead life. Bye.
Flint.
The thrill of my undead.
You've just settled back into your hammock and a knock comes at the door.
I once again struggled to get out of the hammock, although I've gotten better at it. It only takes me about 15 seconds now to get out of the hammock.
Sure.
In my mind, you just have realized that the most efficient way to get out is the least graceful. Like you
just
can always get out
on
of
the floor.
Yeah, like you can always get out of a hammock quickly. It just like
just lean.
Is yeah, exactly. It's just awkward and you might hurt yourself, but it's quick.
All right.
Roll for hammock damage.
roll for damage for falling out of the hammock. I go hop back onto my feet after landing on the floor, and I go answer the door. Yeah.
You see a one-armed, undead human. He's got hair plastered to his face. He looks down at you, and he says, Nai Ilmich has sent me Tharchin Iseldra Yeth. We'll see you. Please ready yourself.
Okay. Do I need my weapons, or can I just go like this? Because I'm ready.
The last door was naked.
So I'm way ahead of the game, then, is what you're telling me.
Yes.
You got a good 20
minutes.
That's weird.
Usually I'm the naked one.
Yes. I will knock on the final door and come to fetch you.
All right, well, I'll just go have some of this food, and I'll even leave the door open. Just yell when you need me.
Yes, enjoy the food. And he turns and walks.
And I shoot him a quick high five before he turns and walks away.
He looks to move.
I go for, like, the other side that his hand isn't on, though, and then I'm like, ooh, and I look all embarrassed, and then go for the other side.
He just hangs his head, but then puts up his one hand.
Nice Foley work.
That's right.
Just a little aside, just a story, because something like this very similarly happened to my brother. So he used to work in a hospital as a lab technician. And one day he was waiting for an elevator. And so it opened and he held the door for someone, and he said, "Hop on in here." The dude only had one leg.
Ooh.
Oh.
So I think the equivalent of maybe getting a high five from someone with only one arm and going for the wrong side.
Totally.
It happens. D&D mimics real life?
Right. Always.
Always?
Sometimes?
Constantly.
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 Can't tell you how many pieces of cutlery in my house are talking to me right now.
We're all very concerned about Carla. She really needed that vacation.
I spend a lot of time alone in my place, so.
Carla, let's kill the hacky sack guy.
Oh. I'm sorry, is there a hacky sack guy?
Yeah.
Oh, is there ever?
Let's discuss that next episode's intro.
Oh, all right.
All right. Stay tuned next week to find out about the hacky sack guy.
I'm very excited.
He is a treat.
New Lara, you've just had this, it's basically where we left off, and a knock comes at the door.
Okay, I go open the door.
And you see a one-armed, undead human, hair plastered to his face, and he looks at you and he says, "Nai Ilmich sent me. Estharchian Iseldra Yeth will see you now. Are you ready?"
"I'm ready. Let's do it."
"All right."
I do, gather up my things, but most of my things are, I should clarify. I don't bring, my traveling pack and I grab my weapons and my normal things that
as
I
you're
have.
Grabbing things, he's like, "You will return here before you leave if you need to leave anything in this room."
Okay. Great.
And he goes and he knocks on Thea's door.
I open it on the one knock and I'm fully ready. All my weapons are on me.
He looks unimpressed.
So you want to see that butt again.
I just stare at him.
He keeps walking down to Flint's door.
Well, my door's open, and I'm just standing in the door jamb with a comically large wheel of cheese, and I'm ready to go.
And he leads the way down the hall, around a corner, and down at the end where you see Nai Ilmich, and she is standing at a closed double door, and she says, "Thank you, Edward." And he bows to you and heads off down another hall. And she says, "Tharchian Iseldra Yeth is prepared to see you now. Are you prepared?"
"Is there anything we need to know in advance?"
"Just be yourself."
Oh, that's not good advice.
You're going to regret that advice.
Yeah. We discussed the titles, the use of titles, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So Tharchian is the title?
Tharchian Iseldra Yeth. Yes.
I should really write this down.
I think I did, and now my notebook is...
She somewhere. Waits for you as you begin scrawling on notepads.
Tharchian Iseldra Yeth. Got it. Thanks, Nai Ilmich.
Of course. Flint Firebeard. You enter a large audience chamber. You see seated in the center on a large throne-like chair a woman who is wearing elegant red robes. She has very pale, fair skin, which gives the appearance of porcelain. She has long, braided, jet-black hair, and her eyes appear a deep amber. Jutting out over and pressing into her lower lip, you see fang-like canines. She is accompanied by 10 red wizards and 5 whites. As you approach, she waits until you come to the front of the chamber, and she looks at you and she delivers what appears to be a prepared message. She says, "We find ourselves bound in common cause against common enemies. Those who sought to destroy us in ages past now seek to destroy you. Our thirst for vengeance is strong, as is your thirst for continued life. our enemy has become your enemy. We know their weaknesses and the ways of destroying them forever, without destroying their usefulness. You have the opportunity to discover their hiding places in your struggle against their cult allies. Together, we can remove them as a threat to both of us. Our agent, Nye Ilmich, will return with you to your city of Waterdeep, there to serve as our liaison to your council. What you learn of the enemy, she will relay to us by means of our own. You need only find the enemy. We will deal with them, as is our custom. I am authorized by our eternal master, Zaz-Tam, to say these things, for I act in his name.
Well, hello there! I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore. Thanks for joining us for episode 64 of Dungeons & Dragons. Come out to Thay! Have a few laughs! Before we get back to the intense negotiations that you know the adventurers are going to bring, we just want to send out a huge thank you to you for coming along on the adventure with us. We've reached a pretty huge milestone recently where we hit 40,000 downloads or listens, and that means that there are a whole bunch of you who have begun listening to us this year, and we are thrilled to have you here with us, so thank you. We have some pretty big goals story-wise coming up in 2019 that we are very excited for as we get closer to the climax of our story, and we think that you are going to love some of the new stuff we're crafting behind the scenes as well. We don't have it all set in stone yet, so I don't want to reveal too much, but it involves some super fun new directions for our players and characters to embark on. Hey, if you're loving what we're doing and you would like to support the show even more, as well as join a wonderful community filled with outstanding people, we invite you to check out our Patreon community over at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. If you're unaware of how Patreon works, it's a creator-to-patron-driven platform where you, as a supporter of a show, artist, or content creator, can choose to sign up for a monthly fee that fits your budget to become a part of that creator's inner circle, the closest-knit people within their community, our community. And by signing up and supporting the creators you love, that allows those creators to be paid for the things they do, which, for us, has allowed us to invest back in the show to make it sound better and better as we go with new equipment, investing in music and sound effect programs, as well as putting some of our expenses together to get all four of us to PodCon in Seattle this January, where we'll get to meet you, if you're going to be there, but also meet a whole ton of creators, sparking new relationships and inspiring even better storytelling for the years to come. We just hosted our monthly Goog Hang for patrons, where patrons at the Squire level and up, that's $2 per month, get together with us and chat about the show, about life, about pretty much anything we want. But we announced some new changes to the Patreon tiers that we will be expanding into the public community in different ways in the new year. So we'd love to have you be a part of this community. And if you're interested to check out all the details, you can visit patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And if Patreon isn't right for you, we understand. There are so many other ways to support Dungeons & Dragons. If you listen to us and love the show we're creating, a review or share of an episode to a friend or family member goes a long way. To thank you, we'll gladly read those reviews that you leave for us on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you leave a review somewhere else, send it to us on social media and we'll give it a read and talk about how awesome you are. You can find all of our social media links and where to get a hold of us through our website, dumbdragons.com. And thanks to Sirenscape for some of the amazing atmosphere. Make sure you check them out at sirenscape.com to bring your games to life. Links for everything mentioned today can be found in the description. And the next episode will be out Wednesday, December 5th. Jeez, we're in December. Can you believe it? This year is just going to use that cliche, and this year has really flown by. Too much fun, too much excitement, too many things going on. Speaking of which, let's get back to those negotiations. Have a great week. We'll talk soon.
So you want us to find the exiles and tell Nye Ilmich where they are, and she'll tell you, and you'll help us defeat the cult of the dragon? Am I paraphrasing correctly? My lady.
Thargin is Eldrieth.
She looks to Flint and says, yes.
And how will you destroy the cult in your own custom, Tharchan Iseldrieth?
She looks to you and she says...
Oh, she'll look at me.
Our concern is not necessarily with the cult, but the Red Wizards. She has a disgusted catch in her throat. The exiles who are aiding them. Without them, their plan is void.
Okay.
Flint Firebeard.
Yes.
How long have you been tracking the cult's movements?
Well, at this point, it seems like a lifetime. Sorry, I can't be more specific than that. It has been a long time.
Nulara Moonbrook, when was your first encounter with Wrath Modar?
I don't recall, Tharchan Iseldrieth.
Hmm. Thea Amastasia. What forces are joining the fight against the Cult of the Dragon?
In the fight against Tiamat, we have the Metallic Dragons on our side. We have the forces of different armies and groups around Faerun, I guess. The general area of Faerun, mm-hmm. I suppose. Yeah, who are willing to fight with us. The smaller towns themselves are even doing their best to drive them back. If nothing else, it's big community building. It's really bringing everyone together.
People love a shared enemy.
What do you require from us?
Well, the offer of getting rid of the exiled Red Wizards is absolutely fantastic. Because as you said, Tharchan Iseldrieth, without them, they will not be able to do the ritual required to bring Tiamat. However, there's a lot going on outside of that with the cult destroying villages and, you know, recruiting other dragons, that just whatever help you're able to offer outside of what you are already prepared to do, we would not say no to.
Flint Firebeard, you are prepared to bring an undead army to your battle?
Would I be the one leading it?
No.
Oh, that's fine. I was just scared. I mean, I have a big soldier background, so I wanted to make sure about that one. Yes, I believe that we will take any help that we can get.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. With this, I mean, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. The Wizards of Thay have not necessarily been friends of Faerun before. What is to stop you and yours from striking when Faerun is at its weakest with armies of undead already in place? It just raises a few red flags for me.
She continues to look at you, Flint, and says, our issues and our fight is not with Faerun or the Lord's Alliance. It is stopping Wrath Modar and the exiled wizards. It is stopping Rashomon from crossing our borders and using our wellspring of power.
So this is more of a protect your own back by cleaning up your mess situation.
Wrath Modar believes that bringing Tiamat to the material plane will give him power and favor from the Dragon Queen.
That makes sense. I mean, if anyone could bring her back, of course she would look kindly upon them. It makes sense to me that you would want to nip that in the bud before it were to happen, because if he did gain power, I imagine that would be all sorts of headaches for you and your Zaz-Tam.
You are correct. Rath Modar wishes to overthrow Zaz-Tam, to return Thay to what might have been a, in his words, more prosperous time. But know that there is no other prosperous time than under our eternal master Zaz-Tam. Rath Modar must fall.
Then yeah, I don't see a problem with us having the help of an undead army. Is your one question for you, Tharchin Aseldriyeth? Zaz-Tam, is he good on his word?
The word of Zaz-Tam is worth every life in Thay.
Okay, good to know.
And how about the undead lives in Thay?
She does not regard your statement.
She won't stoop to your level, Amy.
Whatever, I just don't want to be held accountable for, and I guess I'm saying this out loud too in the game, I just don't want to be held accountable for, you know, helping with the defeat and the rise of Tiamat, and then also, though, bringing upon an army of undead to then, you know, it's like, I have worries.
There is much to consider, Flint Firebeard.
We'll take it under consideration, certainly.
If there is nothing else, I shall ask you to return to your rooms, and we will discuss matters to find our most effective capabilities in this fight of yours and ours. She stands up, and the red wizards all around her stand up, and unless anybody has anything else to say, she begins to walk out. Everybody make a charisma persuasion check.
Ah, charisma.
Classic charisma. I got a 14.
11.
16.
She walks out, followed by the wizards and the whites, and Nye-Ilmich walks up to you and says, I will escort you back to your chambers.
Give us the straight goods here, Nye-Ilmich. How did that go for us?
On a scale from 1 to 10.
There is much deliberation that Tharchin Aseldriyeth will go through. She takes all things into account. She has knowledge of much of the battle thus far, and she will take all things said into account and make a decision by morning.
Okay, so not as bad as it seemed.
Will I die in my sleep tonight? Just a question.
You are safe while you are here.
All right.
She leads you to your rooms, where the doors are open, and inside on the table where the spread was laid, there's a new, very rich dinner left for you, and says, I will return in the morning to let you know what is to come of our alliance in this battle. And she begins to walk away.
As she walks away, I say, thank you.
So I'm going to turn to my friends and I'm going to say, okay, I got a offer on the table from Zaz-Tam to get Bort out of my head. And I'm not really sure of the finer details. I need a little more clarification because it sounds like he wants me to join his army if he helps me out. But I don't know if that's like an immediate thing or if that can be a sign up later after we finish the Tiamat stuff. What should I do? Should I take the offer or...
Okay, well, hold on a second. So he wants you to join their army? His army?
It wasn't very clear to me. I think so.
And for how long?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure.
Okay, well, I think, you know, maybe getting some extra details might be good. What happens if you leave Bort in there? One of you disappears entirely?
Eventually, yep.
Do we know which one?
I can't guarantee, I don't think.
Roll a d20 there, Tom.
I'm not wearing any underwear.
Music in today's episode was by Kevin MacLeod of incompetech.filmmusic.io.
Even less than that, as of when this is released.
Okay, well then it's still accurate.
Yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. It is less than 2 months.
Well, I mean, technically, Amy, if you're talking about right now, it's more than 2 months away.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
I was assuming that you were talking about when it was being released and were therefore right in the first
part. I also thought you were
part.
Like,
yeah,
you
I
were
was
accounting
jumping.
For that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, you were. You
just,
nailed it.
I just fucked shit up.
Yep.
Sorry, you're the one that has to edit it.
Yeah, it's true.
Slap some Rossmore magic on it, and it never happened.
Exactly.
When Tharchin Iseldra Yeth. I'm going to get that right. Tharchin Iseldra. Oh, there's a lot of
this. Yeah.
She opens the door. And you see...
Something spooky.
Things on.
Russ, would you say that amber is the color of her energy?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Thanks, Carla.
I thought Russ was going to do it. I was trying to wait.
Missed it.
It's a 311 song.
This that dope 311 track that the Hacky Sack guy like deaf listens to.
More teasing definitely. For the Hacky Sack guy. I love it.
A lot of build up. This story better be good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
There was a quiz.
I was not prepared for a quiz.
I feel like, yeah, you just got back from spring break and the teacher drops a fucking test on you.
Right? And there's a
I
quiz.
I feel like I really need to, like, enter all of my notes into, like, a Word document so I can search for keywords.
Control F.
Exactly. Because, like, I definitely have that in my notes.
Are we not living up to our end of things, Russ?
No, it's fine. It's good. It's perfect. All this awkward pauses is exactly what I wanted.
Oh, I know this.
Lucky.
Are you guys like, damn it. She gets an easy one.
Who the fuck's Rath Modar?
I don't know.
I think Russ made it up. I think it's a Star Wars character that he dropped in. He thought we wouldn't
George notice. Lucas's rejected Star Wars character names.
Absolutely.
You just give up on your own notes because you couldn't read them.
Yeah, and people are asking for this shit in Patreon.
I don't know why. Guys, don't pay for that.
Yeah. No, it's not that Russ can't read it. It's that we're not giving him anything to work with.
I totally had the answer to that one.
You did.
Yeah, but he wasn't expecting that.
No, it's good. And Rath Modar must fall.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
After all this time...
What time is it again? I feel like the clock stopped.
Time was a tennis ball we could bat round the court.
Time for distraction, too.
Time to just sink to the bottom.
Time to get to the meat of this meat.
Time for Greater Boston Season 4. That's right, on September 13th, Greater Boston returns with new full-length episodes released every other Tuesday. And we're... so excited for you to hear it. But also, it's been 3 years since our last season wrapped, so we're maybe a little worried that people might have forgotten about us. So we're asking for you to help spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your coworkers and classmates, tell your cat, tell your local subway busker. But politely and without interrupting their performance, point is, now is a good time to share your love for Greater Boston on Twitter and Tumblr and Instagram and TikTok and wherever else you post things. Then come back on September 13th when Greater Boston Season 4 officially begins.